Well, it's official. I have over 80 passwords for various apps and things in my computer. 80 different passwords. And I can remember almost all of them, but I've totally forgotten my shoe size.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
I think my shoe size is 3, is it?
Whatever.
Maybe it's 4. Is it 4? Why am I asking you? You don't know what my shoe size is. I think it's 12. Or 16, is it? I don't know. I know it's wide. I know it's a 3 wide. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Here it goes. Watch out. Watch out. Anywhere, just stay where. Sit down. Hey, welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. How you doing? Good to see you. Proud to be with you today. I think it's a 4EEE. I don't know. I'm still doing shoe sizes. I do have like 80 different passwords, and some of them I haven't written down anywhere. They're indelible, etched into my brain. I just can't remember them. That's the only problem. There was a point, I remember one day, I had a lot to drink, and water, and water makes me crazy. Drinking a lot of water makes me crazy. It's like alcohol for me. It makes me pee so much that I pee my brains out and I can't remember anything. I got pulled over by an officer of the law a couple of years ago, and he said, you've been drinking? I said, yeah. He says, how much have you had? I said, I probably about a gallon. He said, gallon? How can you even be alive? I said, I don't know. I got to pee real bad. He says, a gallon of what? I said, a gallon of water. What do you think I'm talking about? And he said, get out of the car. I want you to walk a straight line. I said, I can't walk a straight line. I've had a lot of water. I was incarcerated for 17 years because of a misunderstanding. Anyway, so if a police officer ever stops you and asks if you've been drinking, clarify that it's water, please, because it's really important. Because otherwise you can get a lot of trouble, man, believe me, I know. And a lot of attorney's fees, my God. My attorney said, Ron, why didn't you just tell him it was water to begin with? I said, tell him? I thought it was a woman officer. He said, oh, my God. He says, you're really screwed up. So that's why I have you. That's why you're my lawyer. Do you have a lawyer? Do you actually walk around saying, I have a lawyer? I do. Actually, I have a couple of lawyers. I've got quite a team behind me. Even though nothing happens to me, I have quite a team behind me in case it does. And the best thing to do is to walk around saying you have one. In my case, I actually do. But it's actually cool to walk around and go, hello, my name is Ron. And I have a team of lawyers. Well, okay, I'm not going to fuck with you. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to fool around with you. Well, good, because I just want you to know I have a team of lawyers. And I could name every single lawyer on my team, but you know what? I don't want to brag, so never mind. But just so you know, I have a team of lawyers. I do have a team of lawyers. Welcome to the program. Oh my God, I woke up in the middle of the night last night because I had to pee because all that water from like 7 years ago, it's still going through my system. That's a lot of water. You know, they say drinking water is really good for you. I don't know that it is. I think it's like a lot on your bladder. Your bladder is probably like yelling at you like, enough with the water, man. Come on, man. Look at all the other organs. They're just like hanging out. Even your heart isn't doing all that much. You don't even exercise, Ron. But me, man, you're overworking me. I'm your bladder. Why are you doing this to me? It's too much. It's too much. Give me a chance just to like be empty for a while. But you just keep filling me up with this damn water stuff. Cut it out. My bladder speaks to me. We have a very close relationship. I drink, it pees. We get along. Woke up in the middle of the night last night and said to myself, oh my goodness, oh my God. And I don't have an overactive bladder. I have an overactive mind. I woke up in the middle of the night and did have to pee, and it's none of your business. And I went back to bed and I said to myself, oh my God, oh my God, V8 juice, oh my God, V8 juice. What are the 8 vegetables? I went crazy, man. I couldn't like, wow. I like V8 juice. It's extremely salty. It's got a lot of sodium in it. It's got like 500 milligrams of sodium per sip. I think it's per sip that they actually, Persephone, New Jersey. It's per sip that they actually come up with that formula. But what are the 8 vegetables in V8 juice? Do you know? I'm going to give you a chance to figure it out. I actually had to Google it because it's what I do with everything. I Google everything. I have to Google everything. What are the 8 vegetables? I'll give you a hint. The first one's quite obvious. When you look at the bottle, you see the color of the liquid inside, and it kind of gives you a hint what the first juice, what the prominent juice is in there. Yes, kumquat. No, it's not kumquat. It's tomato. All right, it's probably tomato juice. That's 1 down, 7 to go. What else is in V8 juice, do you think? What do you think, huh? Yep, carrots. There's carrot juice in it. So we got tomatoes and carrots. All right, that's 2 down. And if I do my math correctly, it's 6 to go. It's got celery in it. All right, so now we've got tomatoes, carrots, and celery. That sounds very tasty. It's also got beets. Beets, man. It's got beet juice. Can you taste it in there? I think you really can. If you close your eyes and you drink a V8 juice, you can say, I think that's V4. I think it's V4. Tomatoes, carrots, celery, beets. And then we get into things that don't matter all that much. V8 juice also has parsley in it. Who the fuck cares if this parsley? Isn't parsley a garnish? Isn't that what they do with your wages? I'm going to garnish your wages. I'm going to take your paycheck and put parsley all over it. And it'll be a beautiful garnish. All right, here we go. We got tomatoes, carrots, celery, beets, parsley. It's got lettuce in it. Lettuce. Lettuce, Mo. Not really particularly fond of drinking lettuce juice. I mean, I guess it's weird. It's got watercress in it. I don't even know what watercress is. I've heard of rich people eating watercress sandwiches. I don't even know what it is. I know it's not a lunch meat. I know there's no like wild roaming watercress out on the range in Colorado. I think watercress is a type of parsley again, or a type of lettuce. So I think we're getting pretty heavy on the parsley and lettuce side of it. So we got tomatoes, carrots, celery, beets, parsley, lettuce, watercress, and the last dominant juice is spinach juice. Yeah, it started out like really nice, and then we got into all this, like, it sounds like crap, man. You know, like tomatoes, I get that, carrots, I get that, celery, beets. When we get into the parsley, lettuce, watercress, and spinach area, I'm just figuring, all right. Actually, spinach should be up at the top. The other stuff kind of not making any difference. V8 vegetable juice was created by W.G. Peacock in 1933 in Evanston, Illinois. And by the way, this is your education for today. Peacock was the founder of the New England Products Company, or the New England Products Company, better known as New England Products Company, which made a large variety of vegetable juices and marketed them under the brand name Vegemin. Wasn't that a I Love Lucy kind of joke? I think it was. Not surprisingly, vegetable juice wasn't a big seller at first, given that the original juices were sold as pure juice from specific vegetables. In order to boost sales, Peacock began experimenting with mixing the juices from different vegetables to improve on the overall flavor. Eventually, he came up with a recipe for what they called Vegemin 8, which was later shortened to V8 at the suggestion of a local grocery store in Evanston, Illinois, that was carrying the juice. And the rest is history. If that isn't the most interesting thing you hear all day, I won't be surprised at all. No way. Speaking of my team of lawyers, I am considering a lawsuit. Please tell me if you think this lawsuit is viable and if I should go ahead with it. You can respond to me by yelling real loud at the speaker. Or you can go to ronvandamshow@gmail.com. I'll repeat that for the hard of hearing. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. A lot of people spell my last name V-A-N-D-A-M-N. That would make my last name a curse word, and it's not. The proper spelling of my name is R-O-N. That we've got down pretty good. V-A-N-D-A-M. It's three letters in each word. Sounds like giraffe. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. There, you can tell me if you think that the following explanation would be viable for a lawsuit, or you can email me all different kinds of things. Pictures of your penis or vagina. I'm really equal opportunity downstairs employer. Actually, I'm not, but it, you know, there's a bigger audience when you say that that's the case. But please don't send me pictures of your junk in email. Seriously, there's other apps for that. No, send me a suggestion, something you would like me to talk about on the show, but only nice things, please. If you start sending me bad things, I just won't do this anymore because it's really not worth it. And tell me if you think this is a viable lawsuit. I spoke on the show about a week ago. I had gone to a Chinese restaurant. I live in Massachusetts, and I apologize for that to Massachusetts. It's a nice state. It's a place that doesn't know if it's a state or a commonwealth or what the hell it is. It's nice. It's nice, but at the same time, it's weird. Gotta tell you, weird, kind of odd. It's the funniest thing about Massachusetts is Boston, which is a lovely city, but Boston always thinks that it's more of a world city than it really is. Let me explain why it's not a world city. First of all, you can't get to it. You can't drive into it unless you plan your trip 17 hours ahead of time just to go like 20 miles. The traffic here is horrendously stupid. That's the first part. You can't get to it. They have a transportation system, which kind of they made a joke of even way back. They did this song, Charlie on the MTA, which is a Massachusetts Transfer Society of Devil Worshippers or something. The guy got lost on the train system, and they made a joke of that, but it's true. It's not a huge train system, but it just doesn't run. I'm from New York. You stand on a subway platform, you can be guaranteed that within about 5 or 10 minutes at tops, probably within 1 minute, a train is going to pull in, you're going to get on the train. You don't look at schedules. There's no such thing as schedules in New York subways. Trains always pull in constantly. Oh, I missed that train. I'll just wait for the next one. Not a big deal. I'll just lose like a minute or two is all you're going to lose. In Boston, they actually have train schedules for the subway, which I found to be quite interesting because I didn't think that was the concept of a subway. I thought the trains were constantly supposed to show up. But in Boston, they don't. They show up like once every 20 minutes. And it's like, what? Are you serious? This is your transportation system? You got trains that are acting like Ubers? I mean, seriously, what are you talking about? And then it gets a little bit cold in Massachusetts over the winter. You know, it snows. And the problem is the trains get cold and they don't run. They just break down. It's like, is it going to rain today? Yeah, they're expecting some drizzles. Oh, great. Now the train system's not going to run. Is someone going to flush their toilet somewhere? Oh, great. Now the train's not going to run. If you drive into the city or take the train every single weekend on the Massachusetts Transportation Devil Worshipping Society, on their website, they mention all the stations that are going to be closed over the weekend. They're constantly working on the train system, and yet it never gets better. It's a very interesting phenomenon. It's like getting a haircut, but your hair's never shorter, ever. It's just weird. It's like going to school, but you still don't know anything. All right, raise your hand. Okay, we're all guilty of that. Boston thinks it's a world-class city. It actually bid to have the Summer Olympics, or I think it was Summer Olympics, here in 2096. You know, send me an email when that happens. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll bring all these people. And people in Boston said, what are you, crazy, man? I can't even get into the city. Now you want to have athletes come here? It is not a world. And by the way, the bid was dropped because it was such an absurd concept to actually have more people come in here when they can't handle who they have. It is actually not a world-class city. It is a city that thinks it is, but it's not. It's a lovely city. It's a beautiful city. It ain't real big. It's not a big deal, and it's nice, but it's not a world-class city. The hotels are nice, I guess. If that makes you world-class, then wonderful. Your infrastructure sucks, though, Boston. Let me tell you, Paul Revere got through the streets faster on his horse than I can in my car. And my car goes considerably faster than a horse, yet it can't move. It's an awful place to be. And you want to park in Boston? You have to second mortgage your home. Seriously, I mean, that's how much it costs. It's almost more than New York City to park a car. Almost, if not the same, and it ain't the same city. And Boston is always sports-wise competing with New York. like New York. Come on, seriously. I mean, it's just a joke. Anyway. Okay. All right. Ready. And okay. Anyway. So, what was I talking about? All right. So here's a lawsuit. So I, in the Boston area, I grew up in New Jersey, and I remember when I was a little kid, well, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, my parents, we weren't like extremely well off at all. And on Sundays, sometimes my father would take us out to the Chinese restaurant on Cedar Lane, which was the main strip in Teaneck, New Jersey. And we would walk into this Chinese restaurant and we would sit down and we would always order the family. It was family style because we had family and we sat down and it was family style, as most Chinese restaurants are, I guess. And my father would order the shrimp with lobster sauce. And what they would do, they would come out with a bowl of rice and a big bowl of shrimp, good-sized colossal shrimp, not this puny little crap that they have at most Chinese restaurants now, good-sized colossal shrimp. And it was swimming with lobster sauce. The lobster sauce was kind of a clear, whitish kind of thing, like an egg drop soup, but it had lobster in it, chunks of lobster. And this was lobster sauce. Now, in New Jersey, they didn't serve Italian bread with your Chinese meal. I don't know where that started. People in China don't have really bread. They eat rice. They don't eat bread. Somehow you leave these cosmopolitan areas, like you go to Boston, for example, which is not a big world city. I was going to say a third world city, which it kind of is. It's not a world-class city. They actually serve bread at Chinese restaurants here in Massachusetts. A lot of them do. And it's kind of funny, actually. It's just funny. Anyway, in Massachusetts, when you order a lobster sauce, there is no lobster in it. It is ground up pork in a brown sauce. That's lobster sauce. There is no lobster. There isn't a lobster within sight of this sauce. I went into the restaurant, this Chinese restaurant, for takeout, and I wanted a lobster sauce. And they gave me a nice tub of a very nice high in sodium and MSG little tub of brown gravy with little pork in it. And I said, I'm not stupid. I know that there's no lobster in lobster sauce up here. But I decided this day I would make a federal case of everything that I do. So I said to the guy, and excuse me for the accents that I am about to do. I said to the guy, excuse me, I ordered lobster sauce and there's no lobster in it. And the guy says to me, and here's the accent, I'm going to try to do it. And the guy says to me, hey, what are you talking about? There's no real lobster in lobster sauce. Now, you might be saying, Ron, that doesn't sound like a Chinese accent to me at all. That's because the guy behind the counter was a fat American guy, probably from Chelsea, Massachusetts. So I don't know. I guess they ran out of Chinese people and they said, okay, now we're going to have to hire Americans. Ugh. So, and he says to me, because he's American and I'm American and everybody else working in that kitchen was Chinese, he says to me, kind of like turns his head like he's telling me a secret. He says to me, yeah, they don't know what lobster is here. You know, they don't know. I don't know why they don't put lobster in lobster sauce. And this was kind of like a racial understanding that we had. So I left and I ate the sauce and got sick from it. But I said to myself, wait a minute. This is false advertising. You can't get away with this in stores. Oh, no. If you go into a store like a supermarket and you say, I'd like a lobster, please. And they go, okay. And they give you a bag of chopped up pork. You would say, excuse me, man, I wanted lobster. You just gave me a bag of chopped up pork. Yeah, well, that's what we call lobster. No. If I went to the store manager and said, I just asked for lobster at your seafood counter and they gave me pork. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. There must be, he's Chinese. There must be a misunderstanding. Please don't sue us. Please. Yeah, you know, man, that's misrepresentation. If I went to a legal seafood, you know, a high-class seafood restaurant that overcharges for every piece of fish they give you, if I went to a place like that and said, yes, I'd like the 2-pound lobster, please. Okay, we'll be right back with your pork. No, you don't understand. I ordered the lobster with the bib, you know, with the picture of the thing that I'm eating on the bib. I'm ordering that with the drawn butter and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I know you're ordering that. I'll be right out with your pork. No, you don't understand. Apparently, we have a barrier here. I'm ordering lobster. Oh, I understand. I'm bringing you pork. Now, that doesn't happen, does it? No. You don't go down to the ocean to a clam shack and say I like a lobster roll. Okay, here's some pork. You don't. It doesn't. You ask for lobster, you get lobster. On the menu, on the Chinese freaking menu, it said lobster sauce. I expect sauce with lobster in it. Now, I don't expect gigantic chunks of lobster. Who does? In this day and age, no. Give me a little claw meat, a little something like that. But I expect some semblance of lobster somewhere in it. The Chinese people don't understand that. Now, some places, again, in other states, they do give you lobster. Massachusetts, they don't. And I'm thinking, why shouldn't I bring this to the Attorney General's attention? Say, excuse me, Attorney General, whoever you are right now, this week. This is false advertising. It's printed like, here's all the evidence. Here's what I got. What I ordered, what I got. What are you going to do about it, Attorney General? And I'm having a feeling the Attorney General would say, well, you should know what lobster sauce is in Massachusetts. It's pork. I don't care what I should know. The law does not distinguish what I should know and what is being put forth. So I do have two attorneys. I haven't brought to their attention this situation yet because I don't want to appear like a total douchebag. But if I wanted to be a douchebag, I could be a douchebag. I could be one of those bags of douche. This could be a class action lawsuit, but then you would get some of the money too. And I don't want you to. I want to get all the money for myself. This could be my windfall. This could be my lottery. This could be my Powerball. So go to ronvandamshow@gmail.com and tell me if you think that this lawsuit is worth pursuing. I can't see how I can't win. The evidence is so overwhelming, and it's not like this. They can cover this up. I mean, I can call any Chinese restaurant, order lobster sauce, and get the wrong thing without question. By the way, did you ever wonder if you went to a Chinese restaurant and ordered ground pork sauce, would you get lobster? No, I don't think you would. So that's why this is so totally unfair. Now, I don't have to be from another country to order incorrectly. I could be from another state and order incorrectly. If you don't live in Massachusetts, first of all, good for you. Secondly, please let me know if in your state, we have a lot of listeners all throughout New England and all throughout the country. And thank you for that, by the way. I so much appreciate it. I don't owe you anything, but I so much appreciate it. Let me know that if in your state, let me know in what state you live and what you get if you ordered lobster sauce from a Chinese restaurant. Would you be getting pork or would you be getting lobster where you live? Let me know. Will you do that? And I'm not talking about the highfalutin Chinese restaurants where it's like $80 for a lo mein dish. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a typical takeout Chinese restaurant or the place where you sit down and there's still food on the floor and the tiles are sticky, that kind of Chinese restaurant. But they all fall under the same restaurant blanket, truth in description and truth in advertising. Let me know how you feel about that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to do more things that are so totally absurd it's not funny, because that's what I do. It's my job. I mean, it's not my job, but it could be my job. And now it is my job. It's your job to listen to this.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
Gina Maria DiNicolo joins us now, and she has written Bloodstripe, and it's the Susanna Marchese Chronicles. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I need to see a psychologist. I really do, Gina. Okay. This is an interesting novel, and it has to do with kind of a shakeup with the military. You were in the military for a while in a certain capacity, weren't you?
I was. I'm a Naval Academy graduate, yeah. And went in the Marine Corps from there.
Okay. Now, this is kind of an expose or a novel. I guess there's some truth to fiction. Where does this fall?
It's meant to be a wild ride thriller. Uh-huh. There are elements that are true. Uh-huh. One that actually kicked off the story was the affair between the Marine Lieutenant Colonel and the Senator, mm-hmm. which is actually an affair, or a number of years ago when I had started this, an affair between a friend of mine and a member of Congress.
Oh. Did the friend of yours or the person in Congress ever say anything to you after the fact?
My friend and I spoke many times.
Okay, all right.
And truth is stranger than fiction.
It always is.
Interesting. But they are now married.
Oh, okay, so everything worked out fine. so to speak.
It was pretty ugly.
I guess so.
But, so a lot was taken from that, and what ended up happening was that story sort of ran out, and the Susanna Marchese character came up and just seemed to take off.
When you were in the military itself in these capacities, were you in the back of your mind saying, I could do this, I could write a novel someday using some of this? Is that where it started, it got its birth, or was it considerably after?
Oh, it was considerably after, even though I wrote then. I was too busy. I was too busy with survival and other things to really think about it.
I understand. Okay. Okay. Now, you're married yourself, I understand. Am I correct?
As of Christmas Eve, Key West.
Yes, yeah. How did I know that?
I don't know. How did you know that?
I guessed. Well, that was pretty cool, though, wasn't it?
It was. We didn't tell anyone, and we just took off and
a little freaky.
Got married on the beach.
Very cool. Okay.
Now, and danced the night away in a dive bar in Duval Street.
Hey, life itself, wonderful, perfect. This is your second book, am I right?
It is. Yeah. The first, in fact, we're re-releasing it as a paperback right now. The original is The Black Panthers, the story of the 761st Tank Battalion in World War II.
Wow.
So, I'm a historian by nature.
I can see. I can see you are. All right, now, let's talk about Bloodstripe, because that's fascinating. When something happens in a very strict setting, such as the military, you get involved in cover-ups. Were there cover-ups involved in this?
Oh, yes. And the characters know that cover-ups, and they state that, hey, cover-ups never go well.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't go well, but no one seems to listen to that wise advice. there are cover-ups of a suicide, cover-ups of the mysterious death of the former Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So there, everyone is hiding something.
Wow. Which makes for the espionage and the intrigue and such, because I think we can all relate to that in some way, not having to be in the military. You can go through that in an office or in politics and that kind of thing. Are politics indeed involved here?
Yes. The senator calls... Susanna Marchese at one time had been the chief of staff to the senator. Mm-hmm. They're also childhood friends.
Right.
The senator calls Susanna. It's been 4 years. Calls her in the middle of the night. Says, I've got a problem. It's basically suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs answers as to what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could come back and affect her.
Mm-hmm.
And as Susanna kind of heads out, agrees to this thing, shaking her head, why have I agreed to this? Other things come up, money, misappropriated money, levy money.
Oh.
The big thing is she runs into the new Secretary of Defense, whom she remembers from her past, but her memory, she had had an accident. Her memory's not quite right.
Uh-huh.
And, but she knows that there are answers with this guy. And just starts to dig deeper and deeper and deeper, and it between the characters and the twisty turny storyline, it moves the story along quite quickly.
Wow! I can't ask the percentage, but how much is it incidents that actually happen, and how much of it is character driven, where the characters take you to places that they didn't necessarily really go?
It's fiction.
Uh-huh.
It is a character driven thriller.
Mm-hmm.
That said, information, I said the affair,
right,
on the Hill,
right,
is actual. Right. Misappropriation of money happens all the time.
Right.
Some items surrounding the New Orleans levees are factual, but aren't necessarily in the correct time sequence. Okay.
So you took historical situations and you said to yourself, let's see what would happen if I carried them to this extent and they intertwined in this manner.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And some are become outrageously funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so absurd. There was an incident in New Orleans. There's a problem with the nutria eating into the levees. And Sheriff Lee in Jefferson Parish, just outside New Orleans Parish, had his sharpshooters go out one night and shoot the nutria. They kill 54 nutria. This is in the mid-90s. The public's outraged. I thought this was hilarious. I was living down there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always stuck with me. So it fit nicely in the story with just a series of activities. And they just seem so outrageous. And they're not. They're true.
Wow. Sounds fascinating. The book's available everywhere, I'm sure.
It is.
It better be. It's called Bloodstripe, the Susanna Marchese Chronicles, and she is Gina Maria DiNicolo, and it's been fascinating speaking to you. Is there a place where people can go to follow your writings and such and take a look at the whole picture?
My website talks about both books, mm-hmm. And it's my first name, G-I-N-A,
right,
followed by my middle name, M-A-R-I-A, last name, DiNicolo.com.
Oh. Perfect. Easy. Great. Are you working on your next endeavor at this time, or are you just kind of taking a break?
I am. The second book in the series has begun.
Mm.
The current book, Bloodstripe, takes place in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
The second book takes place at a wedding on September 11th.
Ah, interesting.
And involves the academy. Both books involve the academy and the military, mm-hmm. and it all and characters, you know, continue into the second book. And I'm also fortunate right now. I'm editing the histories of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars for the Army.
Hmm.
And
busy.
That's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, you got your hands full. There's no question about it. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and I hope we hear from you in the future to follow your career and such. Pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
Welcome back to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. It's Ron Van Dam Show. Hey, how you doing? Good to be with you. You know, this show costs money to produce with the thousands of people that I have on my staff. And you can certainly donate to the cause. They call it crowdfunding. Fund this crowd. Fund this. And you can do this by going to the ronvandam.podbean.com. All right, I'll spell it. ronvandam.dot. No, don't put the D-O-T in. ronvandam.podbean, podbean.com. And there you can send a little something, a little donation, gift registry, baby cribs. I don't know. Just, you know, it helps out. You can use credit cards and everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, if that don't get you to donate, I don't know what will. I am enjoying some V8 juice. And my God, there's a piece of lobster in it. Wait a minute. Lobster isn't a juice. There is lobster juice. Crazy. I'm almost out of time. Almost. Not quite. You know, maybe a little bit more. Maybe we can start forming a relationship before I leave the show today. I'm going to ask you some personal questions. You don't have to answer them. And if you do, I can't hear you anyway. Just make sure there's nobody else in the room with you when I ask you these personal questions. Otherwise, they will also know this personal information about you. Okay, now, I need your full Social Security number, not just the last four digits. Okay. All right, like I believe that. Seriously, what is the real number? Okay, very, very nice. Thank you very much. That's all I needed. That's all I need. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, and also get one of your credit cards out, please. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, is this American Express, MasterCard, card, Visa? What is it? Diners Club. Seriously. I mean, use a real card. Was it? Visa? Okay, fine. And read me the card number, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, and what is the expiration date? Seriously? Okay. Fine. All right, now I need that there's a three-digit code. Could you give me the three digits, please? Four digits? I'm sorry, can you give me the four digits? Very good. Excellent. Wonderful. Okay, that's all I need. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I'll send you a card from the Bahamas, where I will go after I take all the information you've given me. And have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace. You are wonderful people, really. I mean, I'm just saying that. I don't know you. Take care. Will you please? One more piece of information that I need before we leave. Your shoe size, please. You don't know your shoe size? Are you kidding? Shoe size. Have you ever gone to a store where they sell shoes? That's not the end of the question. Have you ever been to a store where they sell shoes and you tried on shoes that were the wrong size, that were like way too tight? Has that ever happened to you?
It was unbelievably painful.